Praise the Lord, and God bless you, Pastor Rice, Sister Rose, and all the saints. This is Sister Diane Johnson, who's very thankful and blessed to be at the Overcomer. Thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name. And I do pray for all the precious brothers and sisters everywhere, and ask your continued prayers for me, as they are appreciated. And the broadcast and the daily bread are always a blessing and very much needed. Thank you, Brother Rice, for all the good, edifying preaching of Jesus, preached with the love and joy you always have for the Lord. Just keep on preaching, as the saints do need you. May the Lord help the saints to stand fast and fight the good fight of faith. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come is my prayer. May the Lord bless you all, and Maranatha.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. We will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Yes, we will meet Thursday evening, 8 o'clock in the tabernacle, to commemorate Pentecost. Of course, we'll continue in that mode throughout the weekend. Don't know what God will do. Like now, we just present our bodies. And it's always exciting. Yeah, if your heart's right. Paul said, I have an earnest expectation and hope. If we have that, then we do well. And of course, his earnest expectation and hope is that with all boldness and nothing, he would be ashamed. But as always, that Christ might be magnified in his body. No, any way he wants to do it, whether by life or by death. See? So we know that the Lord is with us, and he's great and greatly to be praised, and we are the object of his love, or we could say he's the one that he loves. John said, yeah, we're the people whom Jesus loves, the disciples whom Jesus loves. I like how John referred to himself like that. Isn't that good? Of course, they were all the disciples, and we are all the disciples whom Jesus loved. But it would be good if we would, you know, present ourselves like that. Huh? Read the book and see how John refers to himself. The disciple that Jesus loved. Isn't that good? I like that. So here we are. Who are we? The disciples whom Jesus loved. See, when you have this mindset, you don't have to be sad. You can get encouraged. Hallelujah. You know, it's the same as, yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Or the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, help us now. We pray that you would help Brother Kurt. Speak through him, Lord God, for your glory. Anoint him, Lord God, to speak thy word with power and conviction, holy persuasion, O God. We would hear what the Spirit saith, O God. Have thine own way is always my prayer. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Thanksgiving for all things, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Kurt, we're going to thank you, Lord. Yeah, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right. God bless you, Brother Kurt. And when you're done, you're done. Praise God. We're not going to ask you to speak to us till noon.
Oh, you ain't got to worry about that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Been a long time since I've done this. 2014 was probably the last time. Like anything, I don't have nothing new to say. For some, it might be boring, so if you leave, I can care less. In a way, I'm going to say, I'm going to go down a stroll down memory lane where God has brought me from. And it's always, like Edie asked me last night, I got a deal. This is my notes right here. No, they made my notes. These are my notes. And she said, why don't you have any Bible verses on there? Well, if God don't give me a Bible verse, I ain't got nothing I can put on here. Amen. And like anything, it's just hard. If God has done anything for anybody on this planet, it's for those that have listened to the Overcomer Ministry, started by Brother Stair. And somewhere along the line after he passed away, it's like, well, I like how Pastor put it. All Brother Stair's passing away did was manifest what was in our heart. In order for God to do anything for us, we usually have a tendency where he brought us from.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He picked us up out of a horrible pit is what he did. And somewhere along the line, we forget about that. So what's really sad is all that God has done for us. It's just sad that we can't be compassionate one to another. It'd be like some people that come in here and mock other folk. Well, how about if I'm in a sad state? Would that be encouraging to come in here and then have folk mock you? Because we always seem to forget what happens if you're in that state. Do you want folk to mock you? Or would you rather have somebody pray for you? There again, when you're sitting here with a bunch of spiritual gurus and geniuses, it's just like a lot of things. We just really don't believe the book. We don't trust God. We don't believe God. I said that shortly after I got here. After I got here for a while, and somebody have a problem with whatever, you know, they go and look it up on Google. I told that to Roger shortly after I got here. These folk in here can say whatever they want to believe, but they have something come wrong with them, they're going to go to Google, and you damn sure believe they're going to believe Google before they'll believe God.
Amen.
And bless you, Brother Murphy. You know, Brother Murphy, he can be an aggravating person. And then every now and then he calls me, and sometimes I say, you know, if somebody talked like that to me, I'd probably tell him to go to hell or wouldn't talk to him or whatever. But he kind of hung up, you know, when he was hell before he was born or after he was 3 days old, whatever. He had some boogie-woogie problem or whatever. And like I've always told him, whether you got it or not, I mean, if you got it, you got it. But hell, if I was going to die, I'd rather die believing God that I'm healed. Like I told Celeste, she was diabetic. And she'd shoot up, and that one time, you know, I said, you need to use half of what you're putting in there. She said, are you a doctor? I said, hell no, I ain't no doctor. But, you know, when you put that much in you, then your blood sugar goes the other way. And she was a hard, diehard Catholic, you know, steeped in Catholicism for 60-some years. So, of course, when she first started hearing Brother Stair, when she come over to the community, yeah, that rocked her boat pretty hard because, you know, and then especially if he's going to scream and holler about whatever. But like anything, if a kid's playing in the street, are you going to say, get out of the street, Johnny?
Right.
Or are you going to say, get out of the street?
Right.
So there's a lot of things. I'll speak for myself. There's just a lot of things we say that we want to apply to other people. Instead, if we say it. So like anything, if this helps one person, I'll be impressed. But maybe furthermore, I'll be impressed if it helps me. Like Pastor Rice used to say, you know, the reason Brother Kurt quit preaching is because he finally realized he was talking to himself. You know, before when I've done this, you know, you would have something that bothered you. So this used to bother me. It don't anymore. So, I mean, if you get balled up here and you drop out, I guess you get balled up and dropped out because it don't bother me now. But we'll say 6 or 8 months ago, when you'd hear them gators going, it's like, damn, it's 8 o'clock at night. What the hell are you driving your gator for? You know, so that used to just, you know, just kind of like rock my boat. So like, we'll say whatever the math is from now till 2014, you know, that'd been my topic. Of course, I'd have done it in righteousness unto the Lord. Hell no. I'd want people to conform to my way. So that's the problem we got going on. We want people to conform to us and how we do instead of conforming to the life of Christ. Of course, we ain't going to jump on the boat for that one because who in here likes to be told what to do? Nobody. And if you do, you're a damn liar unless you say, God, help me. You know, I mean, like anything, if... Like anymore, there's three things I think of what Brother Stair said. The only people I have problems with are those that think they're spiritual. Well, you can look around, that principle still works today. The other one is, you know, when I first got here and I was in that corner where Brother Birch is, I heard a handful of these sayings that Brother Stair said. You know, some I kept, can't find, and some you just heard them the one time and so be it. But one time, Sister Stair was just dogging him out. Sister Teresa, it's not your concern. It's not your concern. Just leave it alone. And then the last time, she got on him again. And then he said, it don't matter what they do. You do right. So, the only people I have problems with are those that think they're spiritual. It don't matter what they do, you do right. And the other one is conviction. If conviction don't get it, like Brother Stair said, you can put it right in their face and they'll cram it down your throat. So, who in here likes conviction? Not too many people like conviction because conviction deals with you. So that's like me every now and then, you know, and after prayer, and me and Edie have a powwow. So like anything, I'll be pissed off about something, ready to throw the lamp through the window, and this ain't right and that ain't right. So she's like, Pastor Rice, you know, she'll listen to that nonsense for however long it takes me to blow my cork. And then she'll say at the end of that, it don't matter what they do, you do right. It's like, damn it, man, that ain't what I wanted to hear. But I mean, it's the truth. So... like Edie says, and like Brother Spencer said, you know, once God started moving on their heart and did a work and all that, they were looking for the people of God. Hallelujah. Well, hell, I wasn't looking for the people of God. Like anything, I got saved at an early age, and I guess, you know, I've spent most of my life backsliding. And, yeah, it'd be pretty good if the Lord helped me with my mouth today. I mean that the bad words don't come out. But, you know, a lot of times, like I heard in Oklahoma, every example is a good example of either what to do or what not to do. So, you know, maybe for me, you could look at me and say, well, you know, he's acting like a fool, you know. That ain't the way to do it. So I could be an example that way. The good way is probably questionable. When Andy and Brand, you know, a lot of things I say I'm just not proud of. You know, like yesterday when Pastor asked, said something about hitting your wife. So when I say this, you know, I'm not proud of it. But me and Terry got into it one time, boy, it was knock down, drag out. I said, Terry, you better back off or I'm going to hit you. You wouldn't hit a woman. I said, you keep coming at me, I will. So she smarted off to me one more time. I popped her. I'm not proud of that. Hopefully you don't get stuck in that mode now too. But if you do, be stuck. Be balled up. So when she hit the ground, I said, now you better not get up. Because if you do, it won't be well. So I'm not proud of that. Because I heard a long time ago, before I was married in the early 80s, cowboy guy, you know, hang out with the cowboy folk. And he got married. And shortly after he got married, his mother-in-law said, you took my baby. You know, whatever that means. So they were horse folk and had horse stalls and cleaning them. And they got into a little confrontation. And she took the pitchfork after him. I said, you didn't do nothing? He said, nope, didn't do a thing. I said, wow, you're a better man than me. Amen. And just talking about how, I mean, if our heart ain't right, our mind ain't right, we're just screwed up people. So a few weeks ago, you know, kindling wood was getting low. And we're getting ready to go split wood. So I told Edie, well, you know, you're low on kindling wood. Why don't you, we'll grab your bucket and we'll get some of that stuff where we split wood. He says, you mean you're not going to give me the wood you got stashed? I said, where do I got wood stashed? She says, on your porch. So, I mean, what kind of retard? I mean, it'd be one thing if she was a grumpy old bitch. I mean, even that's still not an excuse to do wrong. But then I got to thinking, you know, she's been good to me. And whatever. And then I'm thinking, man, how sick is that? She's been good. And now I want to give her some kindling wood because I don't want to give up on what I got. So what does that say about me? If our mind ain't right, we are screwed up. So like Brother Sarah said too, you know, conviction, we really don't like it, but that's what we need. Because what it says is, okay, Kurt, you're going to keep the kindling wood for you. So you get the conviction like, man, that ain't right. So like Brother Sarah says, we want our sins to go before us. The only way it's going to go before us is if we get convicted of them. And a lot of times we usually sing the song, Everybody's Broke But Me. But like anything, after you live life and you go on, you start to realize that, man, I'm just a screwed up piece of work. And like Brother Stair would say, you know, God never blessed me because I was such a holy Joe. He blessed me because he's such a good God. So it is just shameful the way we act sometimes. Because, you know, like when people come here, what do they see? You know, I mean, what's people telling Sister Teresa? You know, we're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, or do we be fault finders and tell her everybody's faults and mistakes? You know, like anything, the way I got it figured out anymore, it's just like no matter what you do, it's just a tendency to be, you know, proud and haughty. So like, oh, this is a while back. Me and Edie were talking in the computer room and I about broke my arm, you know, patting myself on the back about how wonderful things are in the computer room and look what I did and look what this and look at that. So like anything, she listens to that nonsense for a while. And she just looked at me square in the face and said, you better remember who helped you get there. You know, so then that kind of burst your balloon because, I mean, who don't like a little attaboy or a pat on the back about whatever? So, you know, and that's, yeah, see, it's like anything I got to say. I think about this stuff and I go like, damn, that's just sickening. Like when Pastor said, Can you imagine anybody getting mad at? I even hate to tell this. I don't even know. I guess I know why I'm telling, because he wants me to tell it. But I mean, when you tell this stuff, you just think, how sick is this? So pastor's like, you know anybody that got mad at God? He says, man, I can't imagine anybody doing that. So Terry left me in July of 95. It's a good thing I wasn't a rich man, because I probably would have drank myself to death. But anyway, she left me in July of 95. This is August of 95. On my Harley Davidson. Finally made it to Old 10, you know, past the checkpoints and everything. So now I'm home free. So just past the last stoplight, heading east, heading home. Maybe a half mile or so from that stoplight to the top of the hill is Midwest Motor Express. I think about this and I'm going, why he didn't wipe me out there. I just say, wow. So I'm shaking my fist at God, saying, you took Terry. I mean, I look back on that. It's like, why he just didn't go, and I would be gone is something, man. Because I, like I say, you know, so why is it that we have such a hard time to open our mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, now whether I heard this or dreamt it or whatever, so all you smart folk in here, you spiritual gurus, if Brother Stair says get beside yourself, what does that mean? Well, how many of us do it? Okay, so here's the point. Edie can act like a fool. Now, if you said she's in the flesh doing it, what would the black folks say? Get on with your bad self. You know what I'm saying? So now, whether I heard this or dreamt it or whatever, however I got it, this is how I got it. You know, now Edie does what she does. You know, I guess until I throw off my high heels and get rid of my floppy hat, I guess. But one thing I ain't going to do, I'm not going to despise it and mock it. You know, none else, I'll say, go get it, girl, because that way I don't have to do nothing other than clap and, you know, praise her on. You know, so, yeah, we're just a, well, I won't even say it like that because that just ain't good. Okay, my notes. Okay, life's lessons. Where'd you get it from? I got it on Pinterest, okay? I like looking at that every now and then. For one thing, it says how things were in the old days and how they are now. Like in 1970, you had a snow days. I mean, the boys and girls are outside playing on their sleds. You know, now in 2025, we, you know, sit on the in the house and play on our phones. So that's where I got it from. You know, sometimes I got to be careful with my mind. You know, I'm stuck in the old days, you know, old trucks, old Harleys, stuff like that's going to help me none. But anyway, old Birchie working the buttons now. Okay. The devil releases the donkey in us. The devil was tied to a tree. The devil came and untied it. The donkey ran into the fields and started destroying the crops. The farmer's wife saw this and shot the donkey dead. The donkey's owner was upset, so he shot the farmer's wife. The farmer came back to see his wife dead. He went and shot the donkey's owner. The wife of the owner of the donkey asked her sons to go and burn the house of the farmer. The boys went late evening and carried out their mother's orders happily, assuming that the farmer would have been burnt with the house. Sadly for them, it wasn't true. So the farmer came back and shot the wife and the two sons of the owner of the donkey. Remorseful, the farmer asked the devil, why did all this happen? The devil said, I did nothing. I only released the donkey, but all of you reacted, overreacted, and released the inner devil. So the next time, before replying, responding, reporting, and rebuking, stop and think. Be careful. Many a time what the devil does, that is, just releases the donkey in us. You know, and that's usually how it goes. You know, that's just like sometimes people, like we all been through that, or some of us, maybe just me, I don't know. But at one time that was always the thing. How long you listen, Brother Sear? How long you listen? How long you listen? You know, so that was always your badge, you know, and anymore we got people that have done it for 20, 30 years.
Oh, man.
So then you say, but anymore, I look at that like I've lived in the community 26 years. And sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, still pissing my pants after 26 years in there. And, you know, Pastor Rice got to come in behind me and blow my nose for me and wipe my butt. I mean, so like Pastor read this a long time ago about the boys' ranch. You know, you go through the course. Once you made it through the course, you know, then when new recruits come in, you know, somebody that made it through it, you just give them to them, and then they'll teach them the way. Woo-wee. You know, how well have we done with our new recruit, Teresa, you know? Are we able to show her that we've, you know, done this for a while and we've learned something, or do we show her that, my goodness, for as long as you say you've done this, you really ain't got much to show? I mean, I'd like to say I, you know, follow me, and, you know, I've been a wonderful person and good to get along with. And I mean, me and Pastor Rice are like ace, coom, boom, and all that. But woo-wee, I think about 21 years in Oklahoma, it's like, my God, boy, we've had some pretty good knockdown dragouts. And I guess the term I learned in Oklahoma is, he didn't treat me like a redheaded stepchild. You know, I mean, be like anything. Sometimes when I'm coming and you got that old monkey on your back, you know, he'll take a left or a right. And, you know, then you say, what's wrong with him? Well, hell, he's just going to avoid that. I mean, you know, why do you want to? It's just like anything. If you figure out what your motive and intent is for anything that you do, then that'll put, because I mean, right off the bat, if you're going to do something, you know it's right or wrong. But it all depends on what you want to work, you know. So then you work with it from that way. So, like for 21 years, you know, in Oklahoma, if we'd want something, you know, we'd put in our request. But like Pastor said, you know, most of the time you didn't put in your request, you demanded it. Well, I'd sure like to say, well, you know, that wasn't true with me. Anytime I turned something in, whether you said yes or no, I'd have said, praise the Lord. Well, that's a damn lie. Because most of the stuff you put your request in for, you're demanding it. You know, so like anything, you go through this insane garbage that lingers in your mind, and you just think, boy, I just need it, or I gotta have it, or so there's a couple I ain't even gonna mention, because, you know, maybe I'm the only one with a foolish request or want something that I really don't need. So then you think about, well, I can circumvent it, we can work it from a different angle, but then like anything, it wouldn't be a blessing anyway. You know, so I kept thinking, well, you know, we'll wait for the right time and we'll ask Pastor Ray. Well, I already knew in my mind, if he'd have said no, I probably would have wanted to punch him in the mouth, or, you know, think the bad thoughts about him, like being a tyrant or something. But so then anyway, you know, God's helping to get that out of my heart. But it's just like anything. It's like I told Brother Murphy. So, yeah, I guess really when I'm done, it'd be a miracle if I listen to this, because I've done this before. And when I hear myself, I go, hoo-wee, blah, 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 blah. You know, this is, if somebody gets something out of them, boy, bless the Lord. But like I told Brother Murphy, you know, he's got whatever he's got, wookie, wookie, mocky, or whatever, since he was born. You know, like I told him, even if you got it, if nothing else, just say you're healed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hell, if you die with it, you still want to die believing God. But then it's like anything, you know. you lower the boom on him for not believing God and trusting God. And then pretty soon, you know, God reminds you of something. Then you go like, damn, you know, I need help there too. It's just like anything. It's about when you think you kind of got stuff figured out. You know, here's another thing. When Brother Stair would say that, it'd be like, you know, if you figured you could have belted him or did something, you know, it made you feel good. But that was always irritating when he'd say, he'd look right at you and say, and you know nothing at all. It's like, come on, man. I got to know something. But, you know, when you think about it a while, that's about how it is. And you know nothing at all. But, I mean, who likes to swallow that pill? Yeah, who likes to eat humble pie? I mean, I don't see too many people jumping up and down for joy to eat humble pie, but I guess once or twice you do it, or maybe the more you do it, the better it tastes. I don't know. But it's just, you know, when you think about, this is what, and you know, this is the first time I heard that early part of 2000. Old Emma May used to say, every Saturday night after the prayer time, we'd have our little song service. And Emma May would say, why he should care for me will always be a mystery. Well, I mean, maybe back then I must have thought I was doing pretty good or a real good help to God or something. But boy, you know, like anything, as time goes on, like Terry, you know, every now and then Terry told me when he first come here, Brother Stair told him, have no preconceived idea and remember the intricate working of God. So like Terry said, the same thing I said. I mean, Pastor Rice says some stuff that makes me scratch my head and say, what the hell is this? But I mean, if you live long enough, then you know, you can finally start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So like, you know, every now and then I'll mention it to Terry or he'll mention it to me. And like you said, man, when Brother Stair told me that 25, 26 years ago, whatever, he's like, what does this mean? What's this for? But I mean, it's like anything anymore. I mean, you know, we got our insane things going on. But the bottom line is you still see God. Youth. And I mean, when he's still working in me, I marvel because youth. Yeah, I mean, I think about on the Harley with the long hair and shaking my fist at God. I mean, my God, how many times have I done that 100 different ways or a million different ways from 1995 till now, you know? So, and then the other thing is, you know, here's a little Bible for you, Edie. Why he should care for me will always be a mystery. I believe that's in the book. Or what is man that they're out mindful of him? You know, I mean, so what am I trying to say? That's a real good question. What am I trying to say? It's like when God shows me something and I get pissed off. It's not about the deal. It's about the trash in my heart. So you can kill the conviction and say, such and such and so, or if nothing else, you could just say, help me, Lord. You know what I'm saying? But that's pretty hard for a proud man to do, is ask God for help, you know. But like anything, when God helps me, when God helps us, I mean, like Brother Stair said, you know, when God gets ready to lose it, he's going to lose it. I mean, he's put up with this for 6,000 years. So, and so far we really ain't done a whole lot to really help God out, but he's done a whole lot to help us out.
Hallelujah.
So maybe what I could say is, you know, God help me, you know, some of these, you know, so many times I think I got something figured out and such and so, and then it's like, poof. A little while later, God shows me, wrong. You know, you thought this and that, but what you thought this and that about wasn't right, you know. But I mean, who likes to admit they're wrong?
Amen.
Who likes to say I'm sorry? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's there's just something about man is, I mean, what is man that they aren't mindful of him? Because we're not very mindful of God. But it, like anything, he's helping us. So one of the sayings that Brother Timothy says that I like is, you know, even if I miss the bullseye, I'm going to keep aiming.
Hallelujah.
I guess in the cowboy world, you'd say even if you get bucked off, you get back on.
Amen.
You know. But sometimes, you know, we go through what we go through, you know, and then, you know, we want to sit at home and lick our wounds or whatever, you know, instead carry on with business. So, yeah, when you think about, you know, what God's doing, and or like Pastor Timothy, you know, he's brought us a mighty long way.
Hallelujah.
I mean, we still ain't where we're supposed to be, but it's like one thing Brother Glenn said 26 years ago. You know, when the fruit's ripe, you're going to pick it. Because if you don't, it's going to go the other way, and we're the same way. You rest assured when we got it right, we're gone. Because if we hang around after that, we're just going to go back the other way. So it's like I was saying to Brother Murphy, you know, I mean, if God's done anything for you and brought you through, but even at that, it's still hard to trust God. And like I said in Oklahoma, I've always liked Romans 8:28. That's always been a Jim Dandy. But it works better for me when everything's kind of like going my way or there's everything's good, you know. Then I say, yeah, I like that old 8:28. That's a Jim Dandy. But, you know, how about when things ain't going your way? You know, then it's, I guess it's still the same, but it's, for me, you know, you got to work a little harder to get your way through it. Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I really don't know what I'm trying to say. Maybe I'm just going to mutter on for a while to maybe where I believe what I say for myself. Or like Pastor would say, you know, if it helps one person, you know, I'll be impressed with that too. But yeah.
Amen.
So, but like anything, you know, it's, you know, when I heard that, I believe it was David Jackson that said it. So I didn't research it. I just believed it. Less than 30 days when they got out of Egypt, they built the golden calf. So the term we hear is they soon forgot. In my case, you know, God done a handful of things for me. So then you get to your next trial and you're scratching your head like, you know, where's God? You know, am I going to get through it? Help me, Jesus. But, you know, every now and then you'd hear in Oklahoma, you know, about, you know, if I just see a miracle. But I always like how Pastor put it. Those that saw the miracle didn't enter in. Those that heard the miracle. Of course, there again, I like how Bishop Banks put it. It's in the book, you find it. If I don't say it right, shame on me or shame on you. Shame on somebody. But doubting Thomas, you know, you believe because you saw. Blessed are they that believe who didn't. So if it ain't right, you make it right. You know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat. Anyway. So one thing I was thinking about is, you know, compassion. You know, we are just sorry. Sorry-er than S-H-I-T. So if God's done so much for us, why is it so hard for us to show compassion to somebody else? I guess because they don't meet our standard, right? Well, hell, if we carry on whatever the allotment of time is, ain't nobody going to live up to our standard. Like Pastor would say, live up to your own. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, help us. I need, you know, you got people like Brother Birch and Brother Edward. They're pretty friendly and, you know, greet you and praise the Lord and all that. You know, that ain't my demeanor. I mean, I guess it could be. I guess it could ask for some help. But, you know, like a lot of times, I don't usually have to scratch my head and wonder why I'm going through what I'm going through. Even if I can't pinpoint it, I know somewhere along the line you're getting a chastisement from God. In my case, what I get chastised for is for running my mouth the wrong way or thinking I got something figured out. And then pretty soon God comes along and bursts your bubble and you figure out you ain't got nothing figured out. You know, like anything. Yeah, boy, how do you explain the love of God? How do you do that? You know, we ain't going to humble ourselves one to another. But how about God? I mean, how do you wrap your mind around this other than by faith and you believe it? Almighty God coming down in flesh.
Hallelujah.
How do you do that? Now, sometimes if we don't do nothing, we think we've really humbled ourselves. How do you compare that to Almighty God who made man? And then when he walked on the face of the earth, he was despised and rejected. He made you. And then he's despised and rejected. He come unto his own and his own received him not. I mean, how does that work? You know, then if we do not, okay, if I do nothing, okay, I'll take you all off the hook. If I do nothing, you know, I think, well, boy, I sure humbled myself there. No, you damn liar. You didn't do nothing. Didn't do nothing. And it's just hard to comprehend Almighty God coming down in this.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, how do you wrap your mind around that? So, like I said, in Oklahoma, too, I'm rest assured when I said this probably 20 years ago, I said it like a joke or a funny ha-ha. I used to say, the only reason you have faith is to believe that your brother's your brother and your sister is your sister. You know, I mean, if you want to be a fault finder, and like I tell Edie, you know, I hope my life never gets so pathetic that I'm worried about what Edward's doing or Terry or anybody, you know, because anymore on Judgment Day, it's just you and God. I can't say, you know, Terry was so sorry I couldn't serve the Lord. No, that don't mean nothing. But I mean, that's usually the excuse I like to use. You know, blame somebody else for my problems. But yeah, boy. So like Pastor Timothy said, you know, he's brought us a mighty long way.
Mighty long way.
And I mean, we, like anything, you know, we probably ain't where we should be. I mean, especially in my case, if I'm going to brag about my 26 years being in the community. But at least I'm a little further along than what I was. You know, even being here for, 5 years? I mean, yeah, I've been a stupid, ignorant moron in 21 years, more than I can count on my hands and toes, you know. So, I mean, why he never, you know, wiped me out and said, you know, go to hell, Kurt. That's kind of a miracle to me. I mean, you might think it ain't nothing, but to me, I'm looking at like, wow, you know. You know, so sometimes where my trouble comes in is with my mouth, you know, saying the wrong thing or trying to be a smart or something. There you go, another marker. Oh, help, Lord, I'll try not to do that no more. But, so what is man that thou art mindful of him? What are we here that God is mindful of us? I mean, can any of us really say we're really helping God out? That's about like 10 years ago when Pastor said, you know, it takes an almighty God to save us. Well, back then I probably thought, well, I really ain't that bad. You know, just a little dusting off. But like as time goes on, you say, boy, oh boy, I need some help, Lord. But like anything, you know, we've gone through some stuff and we've seen some stuff. But in all that, you know, you can tell that God's still with us and he's still helping us out. And then when it's, you know, when we can say I was wrong, that's a hard thing for a person to say. You know, I'm wrong and you're right. Ooh. But like anything, you know, that's just like somebody a while back, you know, leaving here and, you know, bless you, Brother Kurt. You know, God's going to bring us through. You know, that's all that was said. But it was an encouragement. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we ain't got to preach sermons to one another. We can just say the simple stuff. Bless you, brother.
Hallelujah.
You know, and it's that's hard for me to do. I mean, something like Birch and Edward, they could probably say it all day long to everybody. But it don't flow out of me that easy. You know, that's like old Brother Glenn. You know, Brother Glenn, I don't know how many years he was up in the upper room, but I mean, man, when he'd tell me a handful of these things, I used to say, wow, this is sure something. Of course, a lot of it didn't mean nothing back then, but as time goes on, you just say, wow, you know. And I guess anymore, the fact that we're still here,
hallelujah.
You know, I believe everybody in here is still in the battle one way or another. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, that's pretty quite a miracle to me. And, yeah, God's keeping power. Keeping power, amazing grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, it ain't Bible, but it still impressed me. You know, the other day, yesterday when Pastor was talking about, you know, he'd have much rather took the whipping than to have it the other way. So as soon as he said that, reminded me of this girl, Donna Smokoff. She was a few years older than me. Grew up down in South Dakota next to the Indian Reservation. Her dad was a rancher. And that one time she was a senior in high school. She come home drunk. So like anything, she gonna slip on in there and, you know, avoid dad. Well, she didn't get in there and he met her at the door. So he took her upstairs, tucked her in bed. Then the next morning she thought, wow, tomorrow morning when I see dad, look out. It's going to be trouble. Cooked her breakfast. Very nice to her. She said, Kurt, I wished he would have just whipped me. Him being that nice to me hurt more than if he'd have just whipped me. I said, yeah. But anything, yeah. I'll say this to myself. I mean, maybe hopefully I'll believe what I say. Say all this to myself. For me to listen to this again would probably be a miracle. I really know. You know, when Brother Sarah said, I'm where I'm at because I listened to the greatest preacher. I said, I can believe that because I've listened to you. But woo-wee, for me to listen to myself, that's a miracle because I ain't never done it yet. Yeah, boy, once. Woo. Of course, sometimes. Yeah. Anyway, God has brought us a mighty long way. And I believe, even though we don't, we always think we know people's motive and intent, but we really don't. Of course, how many times have we heard, give them the benefit of the doubt? You know, usually, you know, we want to lower the boom on somebody, but then when we're in trouble, we want God. That's why I've always liked the story of David and Nathan. That, to me, is a Jim Dandy. Nathan tells that story. You know, I can relate to David. Yeah, kill him, you know. But then pretty soon God says, you're the man. So then we'll say, well, we're going to ask for a little mercy now. You know, that's usually our first judgment, you know. They ain't done right, kill them. You know, and then when God says, you're the man, you know, then. So, I mean, that's why sometimes he puts us where he puts us, you know. And then I guess the sad thing is we're just slow learners. I mean, especially when I think about, you know, how God has done so much for us. He's done so much for us. And then yet when we come up to our next obstacle, we act like it's the first time we've been in this situation. Ah, boy. What is man that thou art mindful of him? So, anyway, that's probably about all I got to say. I'll read one more thing that I wrote on my piece of paper. Think before you speak. So now we got THINK. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Well, I wish I could check every one of them off and say I've done it like that, but that ain't so. So I'm just saying, you know, may God help us as things starting to tighten up. I'm not going to make this my sermon about the little potatoes. I mean, I could be the best little potato peeler in the world and then end up in hell. So, I mean, what good does that do me if I get the gold star by my name being the number one potato peeler and then end up in hell? You know what I'm saying? But there's one thing I remember Corey Ten Boom saying. Now, I'm a fat boy, so that means I like to eat. So I do like food. And I don't get my pizza brought into me either. You know, what I get fat on, I eat here. Usually it's from eating at night. But I think of Corey Ten Boom saying this when she was in the camp. If you got one bean in your soup, woo-wee! And if you got two beans in your soup, you really had it going on. Now, am I looking forward to that day? Hell no. I like to eat. But somewhere in the back of my mind, that's coming, that's where we're going to be. You know, so back to the little potato. You know, people that despise these little potatoes, there'll come a day, if you get a marble-sized potato, you're going to be happy. Now, if you croak anytime soon and don't go through it, good for you. But if you happen to be here when it hits the fan, you know, then, you know, like I say, am I looking forward to that? Am I praying, oh, God, send me one bean in my soup? Nope, I ain't doing that. But I try not to be fussy. Do I like everything we make? Hell no. But I mean, when I got 14 choices, I'm going to hop over one and I'll get on about my business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I ain't coming up short. No way, no how. So, yeah, the downfall is Yoko rice and pizza. So when we used to get pizza, I'd ask, you know, Edie, grab me two. So, no, we're going to, you know, grab me one now. You know, I'd like to say I'd grab me none, but I ain't there yet. But it's like the song, you know, it's almost like one of them little cute kid songs, you know, he's still working on me. And that's how it is, you know, I, you know, every now and then I think I can pinpoint and know what's going on, but I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Because we don't know how God's working on other folk. I mean, really, sometimes when you look around, you wonder if he's working on anybody. I mean, the way we carry on. But we do know that's why we got faith. So, at that, I'm going to say, bless you, saints, and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loved me, yes I know. Oh, the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. Yes, Jesus loved me. The Bible tells me so.
Hallelujah. Good job, Brother Kurt.
Thank you, Lord.
Kurt's a little rough around the edges. Everybody know that. Praise the Lord. But he's tender on the inside. And there are others that are reversed. They're tender on the outside. They are rough on the inside. Boy, I'm in trouble. Praise the Lord, saints. Ain't God good? He gives us so many blessings. And of course, he blesses the body of Christ because he just get honest about himself. Absolutely. He don't blame it all on me and blame it all on you. He say, here we are and this is how we look. See? That makes for good preaching. I'm so blessed. A fruit of our labor, huh? Praise the Lord. I was telling Kurt about his taters the other day. You know, when he started talking about peeling small potatoes, but he'd get on his soapbox. I said, Kurt, man, if you're going to do it like that, it'd be better if you just wouldn't peel them. If you're going to peel them and then you're going to complain about everybody that won't peel them, it'd be because you're doing the same thing. But Kurt, this is how Kurt is. Kurt came around a few hours later and said, I'm sorry, Pastor. See, that Kurt's always like that. He is rough on the outside, but he's not rough on the inside. See what I mean? So now maybe you figure out why I like Kurt. And the other thing is, we've gone through it all. We've had our faith tried. I think about Sister Diane and Sister Linda. Boy, they are so good friends. I mean, not put on. I mean, real friends. Now, let me tell you where that came from. Whack. That's where it came from. I was there. You can't tell me any different. I'm telling you, they wouldn't stay in the same room sometime. They couldn't work on the same project sometime. I'm telling the truth. Well, you see what love will do. Absolutely. And Kurt and I the same way. And Tim, you know, and Ron. Our love's been tried. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. But that's how it is. Kurt always blessed me, except how he talks so vulgar. He beats me. I do it a little bit, but Kurt takes the cake. God's going to help him, though. He's going to help us all. But I dare say that my eyes fill with tears and my heart rejoice as I listen to him. Because he's real. Christ is in him. You listen to him, you know that he's met God. Absolutely. Even in all the superfluous stuff that he says. And then there are others that have a lot of superfluous stuff that they say, but then it's hard to see that they met God. So you see, it's not the talk, it's the walk. Y'all listening to me? Y'all don't know that Kurt's been with God? Okay then. We need to know that about each other. Huh? I mean, as rough as Kurt is, you think he don't even know there is a God. Huh? He talks pretty rough. He didn't do a full deal this morning. I thank God because he's gotten some deliverance. Praise the Lord. But Kurt's been with God. Absolutely. And so have you, and we want it to be known. That's what we want to be known. That we've been with God because it testified of Jesus. Yeah, we are testimony, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Praise the Lord. And we love not our lives unto the death. Thank you, Lord. So you can usually always get a testimony out of Kurt after you get him around to it. Thank you, Lord. And when we come to the testimony, then we're getting at peace with our neighbor. And the testimony that we want is Christ is in them. We want to get above all the other stuff and find Christ in them. Now, we're all convinced that Christ is in Kurt, right? All right, now you'll be able to handle him a little better, right? Okay, that's how it is. Kurt and you will be able to handle each other a little bit better. I'm saying the same thing that Paul said. If we are not determined to know other stuff, then we won't do right. What we need to esteem is the Christ in us, because we're nothing outside of that. No matter what we do. Like Kurt said, how many small potatoes you peel, it won't mean anything except you be in Christ. Huh? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to pray, aren't we? Who's going to pray for us? Brother Kevin, you going to pray?
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for the love of God, Father. The ability to come to ourselves and realize it's our fault, Father. It's us, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It's me, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you delight in mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for all things, Father. Oh, Father, lead and guide us into all truth this day and every day, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Be with the saints of God everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin, for praying for us. All right, all hearts and minds clear. God bless you, Saints. Maranatha. The Lord is coming.